each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a live show. This is a live show,
isn't it? This is live.
This isn't a repeat. So this is Father Anthony, and it's kind of good to be back in Chicago, you know. It's
Welcome back, Father.
Thank you. Hi, Christina. How are you doing? It's always good seeing you. I haven't seen you today, actually.
No.
It's the first I've seen you.
It's running been around. Busy.
Oh, I know. I did see you. I think we crossed
just
in the
passing.
Passing through the hallway. So, but anyway, Tony.
I feel great.
Yeah, it was good seeing you Sunday. In fact, when I saw you, I didn't even say hi because I felt like I'd already been back for so long.
I had to stop. I wanted to just hug and kiss you because I missed you.
God forbid. Jeez. No, that was, it's good to be back, yeah. But I just, you know, and here we, I'm back. Oh, thank you. Our fans.
All three of them.
I miss Geraldine. She's not here today.
Yes. Jerry, we miss you. She's listening.
Yeah.
She's going to be able to pray for my cough. I tell you, I just, this is the most irritating thing. So aggravating. Because it started on the feast of the Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, there we go, when I left for Rome, and see, it was on the 4th, wasn't it? 4th of January.
That's right.
And it got worse when I got there, actually, because it was so cold. It was a biting cold right through your bones. Wow. And I couldn't get warm anywhere in my room, outdoor. I mean, I had to force myself outside because I just walked and walked mm-hmm. and walked. And for 2 weeks, I went to four or five different pharmacies looking for some
relief.
Some relief, you know. And finally, one pharmacist who was the meanest of them all, you know, she was so not very kind. But whatever she gave me, it helped, you know. So yeah. It was cough syrup and some kind of a lozenge or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no! You know what it was? It was a cough syrup, and it was like Alka-Seltzer.
Oh,
you dissolve
cold.
In that.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Yes.
And she said, take two of these twice a day. You know, do this twice mm-hmm. a day. And but she was mean. She was mean.
Just mean.
She was really mean.
Maybe she scared the cough away because she was so mean.
I don't know. But it didn't really go away, but finally, but at least it gave me relief from the coughing. Because I was coughing during the night. Here I don't cough during the night.
Oh, and it gets worse at night
exactly.
for some reason.
So then the last week I was in Rome. So it was really, the first 2 weeks were really not so pleasant, to be honest.
You want to come back
I did
home.
See the Holy Father. I saw
the Holy Father.
Pope Francis three times.
Wow.
And so then the last week, the sun came out, and it got a little bit warmer, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, this is the cure all, mm-hmm. you know, and it seemed to, I didn't have to take any medication, any kind of cough syrup, or mm-hmm. I put it aside, I didn't need anything. I think I took, during that week, maybe two lozenges, and till I got back to Chicago. Can you imagine?
Welcome
and it's really today.
It, got, yes.
it started yesterday, and then today, it's just,
it
I feel like
worse.
I'm right back where I was.
When you left
before, it's mm-hmm. so
we missed
irritating.
The cold, right? We had some cold and we had some snow.
I heard. Oh,
that's a good.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. excuse me. It was the cold in Rome was biting. It just went right through your bones, which was so uncomfortable. And I don't know. We were just saying before the show. I understand. Christine understands.
Yes.
Why these old people, you know, decide when they get old that, you know, they're going south.
Yeah, they move south for the winter.
Take me to Mexico or to Arizona or.
You know, Father, it reminds me 2 years ago when we had the polar vortex.
Uh-huh.
It was extremely cold and there was no let up. It was just below zero and snow below zero. And I had this horrible cough, and I couldn't even breathe, and went to the doctor, and he had to give me an inhaler. He said, your lungs are weak.
Really?
You're going to need this for the rest of the winter. I'm like, oh, this is just great. So we went to Los Cabos for the ordination of my parents' godson. When I got there, it was 80 degrees. The cough went away. I didn't have to use the inhaler. It came back, and there it came back.
Yeah, that was one of those lingering coughs too, right?
Oh, yes.
It's one of those, it's really, it's draining. Yes. In fact, I shouldn't be on the show today, perhaps, because I'm extremely fatigued.
It's worse for you because you have to speak.
Well,
That's the thing. If I didn't have to talk, it would be one thing. And that's so you're even during the mass this morning. I was struggling through the mass at 6:15, which was very early. Yes. All of a sudden, all this becomes a very heavy cross for me. And then I'm trying to psych myself up for the radio because I know I've got this hour of radio, solid talking, and trying to even prepare. Today's a feast of the presentation, so it shouldn't be so difficult. But what are we going to talk about? You know, Dan, but you're all the while you're fighting the cough.
Yes.
You know? So anyway, those are my woes. But it's good to be back, in a sense. If I felt better, it would be nice, you know?
Yes.
That would be nice. We had a nice weekend. We had the children's mass, the family mass. So it was nice to have families there. This is Catholic Schools Week.
That's right. So, nice to see the church.
Full.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I know Tony doesn't like
it. No, actually, it's funny you should say that, because I was actually sitting, at Mass, because we had the kids, and we brought the kids down, and there was no place. Usually, we bring all the, our students with us. They sit, and they go find their parents sometimes, usually all through the, Mass itself, but there was no place to find.
Right.
So we had to sit
together.
So it was actually nice to see the church full.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Where were you guys sitting?
I was in the back. I was with my nieces and nephews. But, Angelica was pretty much in the center. We were trying to match up parents.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a challenge at the end of it.
Yeah, but see, it's funny because we had just two kids that were unaccounted for, and one of them went to his parents, and I saw, the other one.
They were probably all looking for each other.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there was no place to sit.
Yeah, no, it was nice. It was nice.
It was a beautiful mass.
And I thought, excuse me, oh, this is so terrible. This is not very pleasant. Geez. Because even as I want to talk,
it comes.
Exactly. So you're fighting the cough.
Mm-hmm.
But the, excuse me. But the, I thought it was, the readings were very beautiful, the first reading, the words of Yahweh to Jeremiah, the prophet. And he says, from the time before, when you were formed in your mother's womb, I began from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, I began to form you. Mm-hmm. And because I was trying to think, what to say, because this is a different group, it's people that normally aren't at the Mass, at least not here. Mm-hmm. And when you're not in tune with the rhythm of the church, her prayer, or the scripture, because everything is there's a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And when you're not following that, then it's very hard sometimes to...
There's a disconnect.
A disconnect, yeah. Because the story keeps unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very consoling, great consolation. Other times it's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And
how life is.
Exactly. So, but the point is that you have this opportunity. So what do you say? You certainly want to stay with the scriptures because, but I thought it was, because I was thinking about this idea of formation has been entrusted to us. We've been entrusted with the mission to form, right? To form our children, to form our students. And so I kind of picked up on that, those first words of Yahweh to the prophet Jeremiah about formation, and that formation has been entrusted to us. And so for, Catholic Schools Week, I was speaking of first of all, what is it that we're forming? But we have to form our young people in their priestly, prophetic, and kingly identity. Did you pick up on that?
Mm-hmm.
So Because what is the, what identify, by virtue of baptism, we say, in baptism we say we share in the priesthood, the prophetic office, and the kingship of Christ Jesus. So it's forming these young people to be priestly people, which means what? But that they're being formed to offer sacrifice, to intercede, you know. In other words, to use the talents and the gifts that they discover that God has given them, and it's part of formation is the discovery of those gifts, that those gifts are to be used at the service of others, for the greater glory of God, but for service to others. And so it's always about laying down one's life, giving of oneself, sacrifice and service rendered one to another. So that's part of the priestly interceding, you know, that we're very conscious of others, you know, that we have a sensitivity to others, and that we want to do what we can in our life work to lessen the burden, alleviate the pain, assist in bringing peace and harmony, and the challenge that comes with that as well, which is really comes into the whole prophetic, right? But so, but that so the point is that this priestly formation that we share in the priesthood of Christ, different from the ministerial priesthood. I offer the sacrifice at the altar in the person of Christ, because in the Mass there's only one spectator, and that's the Father in heaven. But everybody participates in the Jesus offering Himself, right, in a perpetual way. It's being renewed in the celebration of the Mass, and so the priest is in the person of Christ offering Christ, Jesus, in a sense that the priest offering Himself as the as the sacrifice, the expiation for the atoning for sins, right? So anyway, this is it. But the priesthood of the people is a sacrificial service, intercession, and in the prophetic would be the having a great sensitivity to the things of God, all things sacred, and to read that against the signs of the times, so that we're then in this sense, we live. To challenge ourselves and others to set life right with God. So if there's deviation, if there's a going away from, you know, we have to call people back, because this going away from God, away from the commandments of God, seeking not to do the will of God, has dire consequences, you know. And so the prophetic witness is that we have this sensitivity to truth, right? The truth, to live in truth and to call others to that truth. It's not about predicting the future, but it's about, you know, reading the signs of the times, right? And are we living according to the precepts and the moral teachings of Christ, the commandments of God? So that would be the prophetic. And then the kingly, of course, is that we form our young people to be dignified, right? That we're a dignified people, a noble people, a graceful people, that there's no room for vulgarity. Yeah. But when I say vulgarity, I don't mean just in words, but even in actions. Because we become a very vulgar society, it seems to me, don't you think?
True. Mm-hmm.
Very vulgar. And so that sense of dignity and nobility and grace, as I always go back to Deuteronomy, when the laws of God were given to the people, and God said, you know, observe these, fulfill these commandments, and you'll be the envy of the nations, because you will prove yourselves to be a dignified, a noble, an intelligent, a wise people. So this idea of sharing in the kingship of Christ. So I thought that was it. I thought that was, you know, this is the formation that happens. Are we conscious of it? You know, we should be, I think. You know, it seems to me we should be. This is how we have to form our people. Now, that's the formation. But the component for this formation to happen is threefold, right? It's like a stool, a three-legged stool. Mm-hmm. If one leg is missing, then it collapses, right? It becomes unstable. It collapses. You can't sit on a two-legged stool. You need the third leg. And so, what are those three components? Well, it would be certainly the Mass, because it's there that we gather in sacred assembly. We're reminded, right? We're being fed with the Word of God, the table of the Lord, the table of the Word. We're being fed with the Word of God. We're reminded, you know, who we are, where we've come from, what's expected of us, what the Lord has done for us. And then, of course, at the altar of sacrifice, the offering of our lives, and, you know, being prepared to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, so that this this bread from heaven, the hidden manna, the Eucharistic gift, is given. Jesus gives himself so that we don't collapse as we go on our way. So there's that component of formation, which is at the highest act of prayer in the church, where we all gather to be fed, to be formed, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a school, whether it be the Catholic school or your catechist, Tony, mm-hmm. you're teaching, you're forming those students, right? So you're in the same thing, you know, whether we're conscious of it or not, but again, I think we should be, is that we're a priestly people that our children understand. I'm saying this because I think it's something we need to really focus on,
yes.
that we are a priestly people. What does that mean? That they understand we're kingly people, a prophetic people. And so to be formed in that, we need education, right? The table of knowledge, mm-hmm. where we, and it's there that we begin to discover. And not only do we come to know God and the stories of the Bible stories, scriptural stories, so beautifully in the sac, all the whole, mm-hmm. you know, inculcation, the teaching of the faith. But when you take it even into the Catholic school, where you've got, you know, the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, you've got the gym, the exercise of the body, the mind, mm-hmm. the soul, and the spirit, but all centered in God.
Yes.
Then there's a holistic or a full formation that's happening. Mm-hmm. And within that, you know, that our young people begin to discover or find what mm-hmm. gift it is that God has given to them, what are the gifts and how to use those gifts,
yes.
in service to others. So as we're in Catholic schools week, I think that's something that to think about. But and all this really serves the primary place where formation happens, and that is the family, right? The family. And this is where I think we're really challenged, because we're, and I realized this when I was in Rome as well, it's just the distractions, you know. There's so much distraction today. It's so hard. And so if we're not intent, let's say in the home, if God isn't the center, if we're not under the dominion of God, if we're not conscious of God's presence among us and how we're forming these children, our families are living according to the faith, and then you can understand that when you come to Mass, the children, or they go to school, it's like, you know, this is somewhat foreign to them, mm-hmm. because it's not reflected in the family. Mm-hmm. It should be reflected in the family. Makes sense, no,
it
doesn't
makes
it?
Sense.
And I was thinking of Jesus when he was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, he was found in the temple. Because there's a point where, you know, this formation is happening, and we let, you know, we're allowing, we have to allow Jesus possession of our lives so that it's he who's forming them through us, the people, the children, the young people,
yes.
and one another, because the formation is a lifelong experience. But even Jesus at the age of 12, when he went to the temple, he was already had this very keen sense of his purpose, his mission, who he was in relation to the Father. And but he went back, and as the gospel says, he grew in wisdom and stature and knowledge before God and before man. So it's the other thing was the places where we inspired to be what did I want to say? See, I'm fighting the cough.
Yes.
You can tell. The three components of mm-hmm. formation: priestly, prophetic, kingly. The three are the three points of formation. The three components: the Mass, the family, education, the school. And then, of course, I had asked a question. I guess I confused the people with the question because I said, what are the three places you'd think that we would be inspired, right, for this to happen in a proper way, mm-hmm. this formation? What three places in the Bible? What three cities? Mm-hmm. What three places would it be? And naturally, we would think, well, Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
Nazareth, or Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three prominent cities, right? Don't you think people,
mm-hmm. people think?
Says, well, in Bethlehem, because Jesus was born there, but it was there that Herod wanted him destroyed, right, in Bethlehem. So
Nazareth.
The peace of the peace of Christmas, sure. the holy night, it ended pretty quick. Mm-hmm. You know, as they had to flee from Bethlehem. And Nazareth, you'd think, well, that's where he was raised. But the very gospel on Sunday, he was rejected outright, right? Mm-hmm. And they wanted to throw him out. They did. They wanted to hurl him down, destroy him. So not Nazareth. Jerusalem, the holy city, well, no, he was
crucified.
So he was, his whole three-year journey was to the holy city where he would be crucified, where he would offer himself in atonement for sin. So not Jerusalem, but where was it? Whether the key was in the gospel, you know, when they said in Nazareth, we'll do here what we hear you doing in Capernaum. Capernaum was a place where Jesus made his home because he knew the people loved him. They were receptive. They were open. You see, I've mentioned this before on the radio, but it's the only place in the Bible, in the Gospels, that we hear that Jesus had a home. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord said, you know, that the foxes have no dens and the birds of the air have no lairs, right? No, or they have, I'm sorry, foxes have dens and the birds of the air, they have lairs. I mean, the birds of the air. I'm fighting the cough as I'm trying to talk. Tell me what do I want to say?
The foxes have the dens. Now I can't talk. Then the birds have their nests. And the Son of Man doesn't nowhere to put it.
There's nowhere.
To rest
his head. So in essence, you know, and that's really the case with all of us, really, isn't it? Because we're sojourners as well. We're on the journey. And so this isn't our home is not here.
No.
We're on the way. We're going home. But in the meantime, we do have what we call home, a place where we can rest.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus found that place in Capernaum because the people were receptive. They were accepting. They wanted him. They loved him, and he knew. And he needed to be loved as well. He needed to be around people who wanted to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he could do many things. Of course, towards the end, evidently, they rejected him there as well. So it's the point being for all of us to, you know, that we be receptive, that we be disposed, that we be open, allowing Jesus possession of our lives, you know, that the Lord make his home in our hearts, you know, that he's not a visitor, a huésped, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Huésped, but
a guest,
but he's a resident, he's a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
He dwells within us, where this is his home, he abides within us. And if we're open to that presence of Christ, and we stay close to him and allow him to be close to us, because it's really a dual desire.
Yes.
You know, we desire God, and God desires us. And actually, he is the first he puts that desire within us. And so we complement each other, mm-hmm. right? And in this, for what purpose? But for the greater glory of God the Father. So that Jesus, you know, we allow him the space to reproduce his life in us, so that we can begin to think as he would think, mm-hmm. to begin to see as he would see, to begin to speak as he would speak, to feel with the very heart of Jesus, that our touch be the touch of our Lord. And I guess that goes back, and we'll take a break, but when people don't come to Mass, mm-hmm. or they're not, you know, giving anything or very little to nurture that faith, and then a lot of what we say doesn't make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. you know? Don't you think?
You know, it makes me think, Father, how we say that it's like a prenuptial, mm-hmm. couple, when you come together and you live together, you become one. And it's the same with the relationship with God. We become one with him. We, like you said, we think like him. Everything is God. We become one. We conform to him.
Exactly. So that formation would mm-hmm. be coming to know him.
Yes.
Coming to discover that he knows us.
Yes.
And so there is the building of that relationship. Mm-hmm. So that you come to a point, really, and I thought about this often when I was in Italy, because you see you just intuitively sense the indifference or even the hostility against, you know, that people don't want anything to do
mm-hmm.
with God or with the church. They just want to do their own thing and live their own way. And it seems so much easier, doesn't it? In a sense, you know, you look at it and you say,
sure.
Well, gosh, you know, because here we are struggling not to necessarily to keep the faith, but well, we just have that we pass through trials of faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, struggles, And
or even like the prophets, they're not accepted in their own land. We're not being accepted, you know, as we're exercising our prophetic office.
Right.
Where the rejection is there.
Yeah, and even if it's not even outright rejection, it's the indifference. When people may be indifferent, they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't care. It's like, when I say it would seem easier,
sure.
You know, because the faith is a struggle. From my retreat, which is absolutely beautiful. Maybe we'll look at this at some point as mm-hmm. well. But the last section of the Catechism on prayer is so beautiful. I mean, I've read it before, but I, you know, read it mm-hmm. in the context of prayer in this retreat every day, and it is so beautiful. But that section on combat, that there's a combat, it's a struggle, so, because there is, it's a spiritual battle. And so we're in that battle, and others, as the Psalms would say, you know, geez, everybody seems to be getting along just fine and doing just well, and here I am. I say to myself, this is one of the Psalms. It says, I say to myself, well, I should just live like these other people because they seem to be doing fine. They have no problem. And then it dawns on me, the psalmist says it, but to do that would be to disregard or dishonor the, mm-hmm. the faith of my ancestors, you know, that in my time, in this time, I must live the faith. And why would I want to abandon God? Mm-hmm. Why would I want to turn away from God? Sometimes we'd want to, perhaps because God isn't, as I say so often, God isn't a permissive mm-hmm. God. God is a rather demanding God, you know. So, but anyway, that's a little bit of reflection
mm-hmm.
from Sunday. Yeah, so let's take a break and give me a chance to really cough. Oh, this is so irritating. Dear listeners, please pray. I mean, we got so many things to pray for, and this is the least of all things, but I find it so irritating. Mm-hmm.
Very challenging.
And it's draining.
Yes.
So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's good to be back. I hope you stay with us. We'll be right back. This is
Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNBC.
I almost forgot. We'll be right back.
Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. On Saturday, February 6th, from 6 till 11:30 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. Stan's, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, has a Mardi Gras masquerade. At the Mardi Gras masquerade, you'll find dinner, drinks, and dancing, fun, friends, and festivities. Only $35 per ticket, and they're available at this website, sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. The Mardi Gras Masquerade will be held at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gymnasium, located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join us for the Mardi Gras Masquerade Saturday, February 6th at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gymnasium, and let the good times roll.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
As a married couple, how would you like to give each other the gift of love itself? Then this is for you.
Hello, I'm Father Thomas J. Loya, and I am inviting husbands and wives to join me and the team at the Tabor Life Institute at St. Nicholas Parish in Munster, Indiana on Saturday, February 27th, and at St. Basil's Parish in Sterling Heights, Michigan on Saturday, April 30th for Embracing the Mystery, a day of recollection for married couples. Our presentation weds together the sacramental liturgical worldview of Byzantine spirituality and St. John Paul II's theology of the body to rediscover the why of marriage so as to know the how of a happy sacramental marriage. We will also integrate what goes on in church with what should go on in our homes. For information and to register, visit taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Or call 708-645-0762. 708-645-0762.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. What's today? Today is Tuesday.
The Feast of the Presentation.
February Feast of the Presentation, which in the old calendar was, as you, your tree comes down today, or tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's coming down. I left it on till today. Tomorrow will come down.
Surely, it really makes sense that the Christmas season, wouldn't it be nice if we could really extend Christmas to the Feast of the Presentation. I mean, really,
that's how it was before.
It was, yeah. As a society, mm-hmm. that we would still be in that festive mm-hmm. Sense, but this is the Feast of the Presentation. So February the 2nd, Candlemas Day, because mm-hmm. this is the day when, by tradition, we don't do it here. We should, you know, really should. But I think everything happens so fast.
I think there's still some people that do. They still observe the candles, yeah.
And certainly now I've already blessed many
over the weekend.
The baby Jesus.
Oh, the baby Jesus.
This is the Latino community is very
the Candelaria.
Exactly.
The Candlemas, yeah.
They bring the child Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was in Mexico, the Basilica.
Yes.
Over Lady Guadalupe years ago, on the Feast of the Presentation. It was just so impressive. The Indians mm-hmm. on their knees. Coming across the piazza, the plaza, to the basilica, and they're carrying the child Jesus, you know, the baby Jesus, and for the blessing and the candles and all that.
Sure.
You know, so because this is the day, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, when Joseph and Mary present the child Jesus in the temple, and it's such a the reading is so beautiful because. As it says, when the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law of the Lord, that every male that opens a womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and he was righteous, he was very devout. He was awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. So he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms, Simeon did. He took Jesus into his arms, and he blessed God. And he says, and this is so beautiful. He says, now, Master, he says, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes now have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel. This is very beautiful, right? It says, I would hope. Mm-hmm. That at the end of all things, I could say that, you know, Lord, let me not die in peace. I tell you, there was one night in Rome that I wanted to die in peace because I couldn't stop coughing. And it was just horrible, the pain in my side, you know, it's just unbelievable. And I said, please, you know, Lord, and even if I have to die in a foreign land, that's okay. Just take
just
me already.
Go home.
This is too much. But mm-hmm. really to be able to come to that point at the end of all things, at the end of our journey, and to say, you know, let me know. Go in peace. Let me die in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all. In other words, that all is taken care of. We've done our work, right? Mm. We've completed our task. We've raised our children. Maybe, you know, as Mother Teresa, was it Mother Teresa who said this? I'm not sure. But it's not that I will say I have success, but that I kept the faith. You know, because it may not, in our eyes, we may not
see the fruits.
Have much. We may not see the fruits mm-hmm. of our labor. I mean, I hear parents all the time speak about this, you know. As much as they've tried to do anything and everything they can to keep their children in the faith, the sad reality is that many don't. Because mm-hmm. this is, the influence of the culture we live in.
It's so hard. It's very challenging, like you said, the distractions, there's so many distractions.
It's very appealing, very mm-hmm. seductive,
yes,
very enticing, you know, mm-hmm. the illusion, it's just crazy. But anyway, that's, but we don't see what God sees.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking about that this morning at Mass, that sometimes, so going back to what Mother Teresa said, you know, it's maybe I can't bring before the Lord success, but I want to bring before the Lord that I've kept the faith, that I've kept the faith. And God knows our concern for our children, for our families, for our friends. He knows what's in the heart. He knows what we suffer in the heart. And so if it's a concern for us, and it's all the more concern for God, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to leave it in God's hands. But God in his own way, you know, I mean, our prayers do bear fruit. Mm-hmm. It's just that we have to, as I tell so often mothers especially, think eternity. Mm-hmm. You got to think eternity, because you may not see your children return to the faith, but you got to think eternity. You got to keep putting them in God's hands, in the heart of Jesus, in the heart of Our Lady, and just think eternity, eternally, right? Into eternity, peer into eternity. But in any case, to be able to come at the end of all things and to say, now let me go in peace, because I know, I have confidence, I trust that all is well with my people. How often you hear, you know, people sometimes they have to, even in the dying. I remember, I'll never forget this 15-year-old girl who had a strange cancer. It was very odd. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was it the day of her birthday, I think it was. And, I mean, her parents were holding on. Well, naturally, you can imagine. She's in the hospital, and they're just not going to let go. They're not going to let go. They even had to. They had to do a tracheotomy. Wow. You know, because, and I happened to be at the hospital. I think it was. This is going back many, many years. When I was at St. Hyacinth's, but I think she. It was her birthday, and her mother finally, said, "It's okay. You can go home." You know. And she, the eyes of that daughter looking at her mother was like an expression, like she couldn't speak, right? But it was as if she was saying, thank you. And tear came from her eyes, and she just quietly
went in peace.
Peace, exactly.
Wow.
But the look, I'll never forget that. But it was that look, like thank you, you know, because she was so she couldn't go.
No, she was holding on.
Sure,
the parents were holding on, and she was holding
sure.
on. They were holding on for each other.
Exactly. Yeah, this is interesting. It's such a beautiful mystery, right? A very sacred. Death is a sacred thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very sacred. Anyway, as I'm fighting this cough, the gospel goes on, and after Simeon said, "Let your servant go in peace." Let me die now in peace, for I've seen the salvation. I've seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So already we get the sense that this is destined to go beyond Israel, to envelop all of God's people, and for the glory of the people of Israel. And then the child's father and mother, Joseph and Mary, were amazed at what was said about him. And then this too is very striking. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, he says, behold, he says, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It's very powerful, right? Because we're really moving beyond the peace of Bethlehem. In other words, we have here the prophetic proclamation that he is destined to atone for sins. He'll be he'll separate good from evil, light from darkness, bring life out of death. But it'll cost dearly, you know, and that she would participate, she would partake in this redemptive act, you know, and she indeed at the foot of the cross does just that. she doesn't understand, she ponders, she remembers, right? She ponders all that is being said. And then, excuse me. Then there's the prophetess Anna. How many Annas do we have today? She was advanced in years and had lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage. And then her husband died and she became a widow. But until the age of 84, she remained very close to the temple. Never left the temple. But worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer, awaiting as well, right? Mm-hmm. The fulfillment of all prophecy. And when she beholds the child, she thanks God. And then she began to speak about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. Can you imagine the sense? Mm-hmm. This is in the air. This, you know, the we're talking about a people who are being vigilant, people who have great sensitivity to the biblical story, to the prophetic utterances, to the movement of God, the fidelity of God. Mm-hmm. You know, walking with His people. You know, here, you know, the time is come. The time is right. The stirring in the air, right, mm-hmm. in the soul. And the beginning of this gratitude and rejoicing that all things are coming to fulfillment, you know. And so, anyway, and it goes on, it concludes the gospel for today that Jesus went to his own town of Nazareth, and he grew, he became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So, all right. Say something, you guys. This is torture for me. We'll take a break, okay? We'll take a break. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. On Saturday, February 6th, from 6 till 11:30 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. Stan's, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, has a Mardi Gras masquerade. At the Mardi Gras masquerade, you'll find dinner, drinks, and dancing, fun, friends, and festivities. Only $35 per ticket, and they're available at this website, sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. The Mardi Gras Masquerade will be held at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gymnasium, located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join us for the Mardi Gras Masquerade Saturday, February 6th at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gymnasium, and let the good times roll.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's. One church, many cultures.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Okay, we got 16 minutes with Christina and Tony. What do you want to talk about? You guys talk.
Oh, you just did. I was going to ask about the presentation.
We've just been talking about the presentation.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to talk about.
What do you think of the presentation?
I can relate to that. Well, that's what we're all called to, Father, to give testimony of the faith. And with everything that's going on today, it's very challenging. But it's going to cost us our life, just as it cost Christ his life. The same with us. And he said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Sure. I kind of think, you know, this is only the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, sure. You know, and I don't want to be, again, pessimistic and all that, but these are difficult times because I mean, there are good things happening, no doubt. You know, God is the God of history, and but it is, this is the time of the Anawim. I've spoken about this often, but the Anawim are the faithful few, those who remain, those who keep faith, those who have great sensitivity, who could read the signs of the times. And so we have Anna, we have Simeon, we have Mary and Joseph, no doubt, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and others. And we have to, you know, keep, because actually, you know, as we speak of the presentation, the temple, because they went to the temple, right? The temple was where the Jewish faithful believed that the life of heaven and the life of earth met, and where God was present in a personal way, in a very personal way. So Jesus, you know, these 40 days after he was born, is taken to the temple and greeted by two people, Simeon and Anna, as we just read. Both had been living in a world where suffering and fading hope were a way of life. You think about that today, it seems to me, you know? Suffering and fading hope were the way of life. I think the problem in the United States is we've had it so good for so long. And but enough people know that something is amiss. Something's not right. And who knows what the future is going to bring. We don't know, but we do know that that those who have a great sensitivity to faith, those who keep themselves immersed in sacred scripture and are nurturing their intimacy with God through prayer and are really at the service of others, we see things that others may not see. And there is, sometimes, you know, you can feel very much alone. There's a certain suffering, a certain fading hope that we seem to be losing the battle here, you know. But, and you know, Simeon and Anna, they spent their whole life praying for the fulfillment of God's promise.
And they saw they saw the signs back in their time.
Right.
And that's, we have to do the same. And they were very devout, very humble, and that's the key. You've mentioned it before, Father, that what we've lost is the sensitivity to the things of God and the humility.
The humility.
We have to be humble, otherwise it's...
That's a... go ahead.
That's key.
Yeah, I was reading in the... in this... section on prayer from the Catechism, how humility is so key to prayer.
It is.
So key to prayer. I was watching when I was in, I keep wanting to say I was in Spain because I was not, I was in Italy, but I was watching Spanish television from Spain because I wanted to, I was trying to improve my language. I had some couple of hours a day where I would watch and the television in Spain, from Spain. And it's interesting, just like here, but they would have occasionally the old movies in black and white and the innocence and the morality, the teaching, everything that was so geared around. I mean, it was just very, very wholesome. Even the humor was beautiful. It was innocent. Everything was...
It was clean.
It was clean. And there was a teaching.
Yes.
Teaching
there was
virtues and morality. And the faith was very present.
Yes.
In those movies, very present. If they had a an image of a home, you know, inside, you know, part of the filming in a home, there was always the crucifix, or there was a statue,
or the Blessed,
Virgin. The faith was very much. It was imbued with the faith. Very Catholic, because it was a very Catholic country, right? Now, today's movies are just the opposite. It's very, the vulgarity,
the vulgar.
Vulgar, in some ways, you know, and it's an interesting contrast. You know, the change of the character of a people in the West, but humility is the key. You're right; it's the key. You know, you can't be a part of the Anawim. You can't be that inner circle, that little flock. And when I say inner circle, it's not to say, you know, that it's not about being superior to others. In fact, just the opposite. You know, to see oneself as
the
least of all, you know, the little ones. But to have this sensitivity that says, you know, I cannot, without you, God, I can't do it. I need you. I'm dependent on you. I guess when people say, well, you know, Christians, you just need the Lord as a God as a crutch. I guess there's a truth to that, right?
And that's the problem in today's world, that people rely on their intellect, and are not thinking that everything comes from God. God is the source of life. He's the source of everything. Whatever we have is because of Him. And with today's technology, all the advances, I'm not against advances, but right. it's overrated. And we're losing what the understanding of what is really important. What's really important? Is it that, or is it, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, of course. Who gave us, to humbly recognize mm-hmm. this capacity mm-hmm. I have to create, this creative energy that is within me, you know, as a people,
sure.
that we can build, you know, this technology or this, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, when you think about it, the life is, the fact that you can, you know, be in Italy and you can put a card in the
sure.
in a wall and you get money. You get the ATMs, right? You get money. I mean, it would have been absurd, you know, years ago. Just to be able to travel.
Sure.
You know, and these jumbo jets and all that, mm-hmm. you know, just when you think about all the stuff, that was the other thing that, it's just, to humbly acknowledge that it's this creative capacity or this creative energy comes from God,
yes.
and to be used for the greater glory of God,
yes.
and at service to us, mm-hmm. at the service of others. But when we think that, you know, we're the gods,
yes, and we glorify ourselves,
then there's a
problem right there.
So anyway, Tony, what are you going to say?
I don't know. I'm listening to all this, and I used to think to myself, it's what keeps us away from, you know, God. I mean, what keeps us? You think about all the things that take our time, and I guess at a time, a simple time when it, you think of the neighborhoods, everybody knew where the church is at. Everybody knew each other.
Sure.
And you know, I long for those times, and I sit and I think sometimes, what is going to bring us back to that?
You wonder, huh?
Do you get rid of all
sure.
the technology that's supposed to help? Or, you know, if it's just that sense, that's why within my family now, I try to do that. I try to spend time with my nieces mm-hmm. and nephews, you know? I don't know how to call back people that just don't want to be in my life anymore.
Sure.
It's like, it's a sense, you have to, I guess, come to the own grips, your own self. I mean, people go through life damaged and hurt, and you know, you kind of wonder what it's going to take, you know, for
you
somebody
wonder.
To
sure.
To
no,
just,
I wonder too. You
yeah,
know? Because there's got to be a change
mm-hmm.
at some point. I mean, when, again, you know, I, on one hand, you know, I was trying not to be overly critical, but mm-hmm. and I've said this before, but when I was there again,
sure.
you know, I take the tram a lot and spend quite a bit of time on the tram, and I mean. Almost everybody is on the phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody. Well, I was saying, well, at least they're connected to something or someone, right? But it's very odd. It's very odd.
And it's
and somewhat sad.
Go ahead, Father.
Go on, no. Go ahead.
I was talking while you were away. We had the African priest helping us with the masses, and how he was telling me how in Africa they're very poor. They don't have what we have. Yet they're more rich because they have the faith, and how many people travel far on foot to be there for the morning mass.
Sure, yeah.
And the churches are filled.
Yeah.
Because, again, they know what's more important. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy because they don't have the comforts that we have. That's why we're spoiled. That's why we are where we are at. But they have the faith and the joy and the trust in God that He's
yeah.
going to take care of what's needed to be taken care of.
Sure. No, it goes back to what Tony was saying. You know, what's it going to take?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, or are we the odd people out, you know, in a sense? And that's what I kept asking myself. Well, maybe I've got the problem, you know.
No.
But the faith has been given to me, and it's a gift. It's a gift, but mm-hmm. I can't imagine
no.
life without God. And even in the combat, even in the spiritual battle, even with trials of faith, where do you go? This is like Peter said when the disciples left. They said, "This is too much for us. We can't withstand this." Mm-hmm. And they walk away, and the Lord says to the apostles, "Do you wish to go as well?" And Peter said, "Lord, where do we go? I mean, we believe you have the words of life everlasting." And we grow into that. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to what you said, we grow into that,
sure,
that faith where all of a sudden, you know, there is no life apart from God, yeah, you know? And, but again, it goes back to the question, you know, what's it going to take to bring people to have that sensitivity to God, mm-hmm, and to the commandments of God, and to into a life, because mm-hmm, again, God is not a permissive God.
No.
God is he's a demanding God, because we're in this work together,
mm-hmm,
and I don't know, maybe we become a little bit too pompous.
A lot of the distractions have to be taken away. That's just it, to just go back to the basics.
I think there'll always be distractions. It's just that
I mean,
sense,
like the toys.
Yeah, well, even
the toys,
you know,
yeah,
but even without the toys, there's a distraction.
You know why? Like, I remember when the lights went out at our house.
Mm-hmm.
I have the TV, the radio, and all that. I had no light, nothing. It was at night.
Sure.
Right away, my mind went straight to God.
Pray.
To pray. Otherwise, I would have been listening to the radio, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what I'm saying? It takes me away. It's an obstacle, in a sense, away from putting God in the center of it,
sure,
all.
Well, I always go back to maybe I've mentioned this before, but we're just about out of time here, but the experience of when I was a student in mm-hmm, Mexico, and the young students came from the high schools,
mm-hmm,
and they were so livid, so angry, because it was very poor. They mm-hmm, had to live with other families. They didn't have a McDonald's. They didn't have, of course, this was before you had cell phones and all,
sure,
that. But they didn't, this was the last place they wanted to be. They wanted out of there. And, but several weeks later, when it was time to leave, they didn't want to leave,
mm-hmm,
because they found this sense of community,
mm-hmm,
this sense of celebration, festivity, convivencia, you
see,
know, but this sense that, you know, you look at each other,
mm-hmm,
you talk to each other, you're with each other. You know, we're today, I don't know,
a deeper meaning of
sure,
life.
Sure.
Something to live for.
So anyway, we're out of time. So and thank God, really, because but it's good to be back anyway.
Welcome back.
It's good that you're back.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Mighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The